and from Luke 7. After Jesus finished presenting all his words among the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion had a servant who was very important to him, but the servant was ill and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to Jesus to ask him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly pleaded with Jesus. "He deserves to have you do this for him," they said. "He loves our people and he built our synagogue for us." Jesus went with them. He had almost reached the house when the centurion sent friends to say to Jesus, "Lord, don't be bothered. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. In fact, I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. I'm also a man appointed under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and the servant does it." When Jesus heard these words, he was impressed with the centurion. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I tell you, even in Israel, I haven't found faith like this." When the centurion's friends returned to his house, they found the servant restored to health. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, our thoughts, our minds right now to your Spirit. We ask that you would push the world aside, and that we would be aware of your presence here with us, moving among us, that your Spirit would minister to our spirits, giving each of us something we need this day. For all that you're going to do, we give thanks and praise right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Time and again, Jesus spoke of, or the scriptures speak of, times when Jesus was limited in what he could do because of the lack of faith. It happened in Nazareth that he healed a few, laid hands on a few sick, but didn't do nearly what he could have done and wanted to do in the lives of the people. And it happened several places where the limitations were there, not because our God is limited, not because the Lord Jesus was limited on this earth, other than Jesus is a gentleman. The Lord God is a gentleman. He will not force his way upon us. He will not force his will. But as our hearts are open to him and our lives are yielded to him, he promises to respond. Jesus didn't argue with the Jewish elders who came to him on behalf of this Roman centurion. Oh, he could have. He could have said, "Now, whoa, wait a minute. Nobody is good enough. No one comes in their own righteousness. Remember, Isaiah has told us that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. That we are nothing. We can't come to God expecting and declaring that God owes us something. God owes us nothing. But God loves us and God reaches out in grace. And with that grace, Jesus went with those elders possibly because his interest was piqued, that here was definitely a good man, a man who had built a synagogue for a people that he did not belong to, a man who had apparently had not converted to Judaism, but had believed in the one true God to such an extent that he gave of his resources. And then Jesus found that it extended beyond that. As the man said, Jesus, don't bother coming into my house. Don't bother making yourself ceremonially unclean on my behalf. See, he knew the Jewish law. He knew that if Jesus came into the doors of a Gentile, that he would be declared unclean. And yet, this unlimited faith led him to say, just speak the word. And Jesus spoke the word. Because it happened. So many of the Jews were limited. They couldn't see what this Gentile God-fearer could see. But he saw the power of the Lord Jesus. His name was Ahab. He was king of Israel, and his father had secured a Syrophoenician wife for him who was a follower of Baal. This woman's name was Jezebel. And the prophet Elijah had taken on this mission on behalf of God. God had told him to go to Ahab, whose wife was sponsoring 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, as we find there in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. And that there, as they prayed for the fertility of the area, for God to their God to grant riches and crops and blessings, that Elijah said, there will be no rain, there will be no crops, there will be nothing as you put your faith in Baal instead of putting your faith in God. As we fast forward, we find that Elijah returns, having retreated to an area outside as God led him. But as he returns, he challenges and says, how long will you try to decide what you really believe? How long will you halt between two opinions? You know, how sometimes we want to cover all our bases. You know, just in case, I believe this, but just in case I want to do this. Just in case I want to carry that lucky charm. Just in case I want to do this or I want to do that. Just in case God doesn't come through, we'll cover our bases. We'll pray to Baal and Asherah. Or actually the multitude of Baals and Asherahs. And God had said, you can't have it both ways. And Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal and he says, join me in a contest on Mount Carmel. Each of us will take a bull to offer as a sacrifice to our God. You put that upon the altar, and the God who answers with fire, we'll just say he's God, right? And of course, the prophets of Baal were ineffective. All they tried, for all they were worth, they prayed, they wailed. They cut themselves, we're told, trying to appease Baal and bring fire, a fire that never came. And instead, they found themselves wounded and weary. And it was suddenly Elijah's turn. Elijah takes 12 stones, representing most likely the 12 original tribes of Israel, forms an altar, and then digs around that altar a trench that would hold nearly 4 gallons of water. He puts the wood and lays the bull upon the wood of the altar. And then, just to make it a little more difficult, you know, a little more of a challenge, they bring in these containers of water, this precious element by this point of time. Pours it upon the sacrifice, soaks it to a point that even the trench around the altar is filled. And I imagine it took a good bit to fill that, considering that the ground had to be very dusty and very thirsty by that point of time. But then he prays, and the fire comes from heaven. Whether lightning or whether something else, most likely God sent a bolt of lightning, which without a storm, that's pretty remarkable in and of itself, isn't it? This lightning bolt or this fire strikes the sacrifice. It consumes the sacrifice. It consumes the wood. It consumes the stones. It licks up the water and even licks up some of the dust along with it. Just so there can be no doubt about it. Who's God? The people. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. It's not Baal. It's not Asher. But we're not told that the people changed all that much. You see, the royalty, the nation's leaders still worshiped Baal. It was still the state religion as far as they were concerned. And there were few who were willing to declare, we don't believe in Baal. We believe in God, in God alone. And there were limitations. Oh, God still did some work in Israel, but nothing of what he had wanted to do. And finally, there was the exile, the dispersion of the northern kingdom. Paul writes to the churches of Galatia. The people who are with me send you their greetings. I send you my greetings, but most of all, God sends greetings to you. This God that you serve, this God who knew that we were limited, that we had sin in our lives, who knew that only by the blood of Jesus could we be freed from our sins. that this God has loved us, reached to us, and called us and equipped us to live for Him. Oh, we couldn't do it on ourselves. We couldn't make ourselves holy. We couldn't make ourselves righteous. It doesn't come from what's inside that we do, our actions. It comes from our faithful response to the love of God and merely accepting and receiving that grace that He offers in Christ Jesus. So many are limited. No, God hasn't been limited. Jesus Christ has not been limited. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still able to save, still able to bless, still able to provide our needs, still able to do abundantly beyond what we could even hope or think. This limitless God calls us to remember. This morning, as we receive these elements of Holy Communion, we remember. We remember our limitless God. We remember the gift that God has given us that we could not effect for ourselves, that we could not do to make it happen. And to celebrate our forgiveness in Him, that we belong, that we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Gracious Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your love and Your call upon us. Lord, we ask that You would touch us in Your love and in Your power. We pray that You would bless this sacrament, that You would bless our lives, and Lord, that You would help us, that we would rely upon our limitless God. In Jesus' name we pray.